Let's go to our friend Bill Roller, BR Capital in Vancouver. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm connecting with my inner James Brown this morning. Oh, good God, watching the market. It's dropping faster than Keith Olbermann's income today.
Which Keith Olbermann's drop in income was about as bad as his drop in ratings.
Well, that's right. When you're only talking about one thing, you know, people kind of get a little tired of it, too.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's why I try to, you know, veer off into other areas other than just politics. And the market is one of those areas. I'm a small-time investor. I've got the market up on my screen real time, and this is not a good day. What's going on and why?
Well, a couple things going on. The big concern is starting to hit the street, and that is Spain. Whereas, remember, we've talked several times about Greece. Greece is kind of a small player, but Spain, fourth largest economy in Europe, serious player, serious problems. And so what happened today that's spooking the market is they had a bond auction, and they didn't sell nearly enough of their bonds. So rates are going up. And if you caught my closing market report yesterday, we saw Spanish unemployment is starting to spike up as well. On an annual rate, it's up to about 9%.
That's happening all over Europe.
That's right.
But, so, all right. So that explains what's happening today. Now, two things I want to get into, I want to ask you about. First of all, what will Bernanke's immediate reaction be today? And there will be one if there hasn't been one already and I've missed it. And secondly, what's the long-term outlook? A lot of people are saying we're due for a pullback in the market, but the market's being sustained because Bernanke is just pumping tons of dollars into the marketplace. So what do you think Bernanke's going to do to this news about Spain today? They're going to do something, signal something at the very least today to try to get the market back in place?
Well, I think the signal came out yesterday, and actually the market's reacting to that signal, and that was the minutes of the Federal Open Market Committee were released from their March 13th meeting. And they said that they're going to hold off on increasing any kind of monetary stimulus unless they see prices start to rise, prices slow down slower than its 2% target. So that's actually already being priced into the market, and that's also cause for concern. So Bernanke's not going to react short-term to the Spanish news. He's going to wait and see, and so nothing's going to happen for a month at least, or probably more.
Well, he's already tried to shore up European Central Bank and other banks by offering them this discount window, the Fed facility. They can go in there and buy at this, borrow money, rather, at this incredibly cheap price.
Yeah, which is a mistake. It's kind of like enabling an alcoholic. cheap money got...
Well, it is.
Well, cheap money got Europe into a lot of its problems now, and it's certainly doing the same thing to us. So giving them, extra access to that in the absence of large government restructuring or restructuring their social safety nets isn't going to help, and that's really what we've seen with Greece and now with Spain. What's really ironic about Spain is that they were the home of the green energy movement. I mean, they put a huge amount of money into unicorn power, windmills, and the rest of the green stuff, and they just killed their economy.
Yeah, and in fact, there's an interesting report that was written by Todd Wynn at the time was at Cascade Policy Institute here in Portland. About how Spain's green jobs program was actually destroying more jobs by far than it created.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've said before, the best green energy program is nuclear power, which is very politically incorrect. You don't need 10,000 people pulling maintenance on windmills. You need one guy, you need Homer Simpson in the nuclear power plant supplying power for the entire economy. You need the efficiency that it provides, not jobs created through inefficiency.
Homer Simpson. That's pretty good. All right, long-term outlook for our market. A lot of people saying it's time for us to have a little breather, a little pullback. What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely seeing some signs of that consolidation, and some of the leading indicators are looking a little bit iffy there. And also, it's a little bit early to come into the silly season. Usually May to August is pretty flat. The old saying is sell in May and go away. To a certain extent, that's been repudiated over the last few years because we've seen huge amounts of volatility during the summer. But yeah, I think we're going to be just kind of setting up to be moving sideways or a little bit down. And then,
so in that regard, you think we're going to be more sideways to down as opposed to a little breather and then going back up again?
Yeah, I think we're going to be more sideways because we've had a pretty good first quarter where it was up 12%, and so I think it's just going to be kind of moving sideways. Plus, you know, the election is still in doubt, so everybody's trying to wait and see what's going to be the outcome from Obamacare when the Supreme Court announces its decision end of June, and then from that we should get clarity on the election, whether we're going to have another 4 years of Obama or move on to something else.
Well, certainly indecisiveness within the market has, in the political world, has an effect, obviously, in the marketplace. Where do you think then, you know, for the benefit of our viewers, if we're going to have a flat to down market, I mean, typically April's a good month, right?
It's kind of hard to say. I mean, the problem is traditionally government intervention and government participation really didn't affect the markets. But really up until really 2000, you know, the government has become such a large player, it's made it much harder to game it. You know, the conventional wisdom was, well, it didn't really matter who was in charge, Democrats or Republicans. We'd still start to see increases in the market. Now, you know, because there's so much money being thrown around and so much policy, both good and bad, affecting the market, you know, it's really become kind of a trading market as opposed to a trending market.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's going to be people that are paying attention to the trends, quick on the trigger, who are going to be trading kind of, you know, very, very short-term traders, I think, are probably going to be the ones that can make a little money in a flat to down market.
That's why we've seen really time frames collapse in the market. You know, it used to be early 90s, you know, buy and hold, ride the trend. And there's all this influence of high speed trading, high frequency trading. Well, it's, you know, short, you know, people are just picking off those easy trades and computers getting involved and massive amounts of short-term volatility being injected into the market.
Yeah, those flash trades, a number of other things. I mean, it's very volatile, and it makes me wonder what's your best advice to our audience about, given the volatility and the uncertainty, elections, Europe, debt, all these things going on, how should people be approaching managing their investment portfolios right now? Let's say for the next year.
Well, they need to be, as I said before, they need to always have an out point, you know, set stop losses on their stuff. I mean, imagine somebody who owned Groupon, for example.
Right.
You know, it got whacked pretty hard recently, you know, and it looks like it may not necessarily recover, complete with some accounting issues. So, you know, when things start to look a little bit toppy, you know, put a hard stop in there and be willing to get out of it. You know, certainly looking more at value becomes important. You know, sometimes it makes sense to look stuff that has been beaten down that is starting to make a recovery. And then, you know, as I've said before, you need to be careful, do your due diligence on any investment. And if you don't necessarily buy something, you know, there's always another bust.
That's true. What about gold?
Gold, yeah, I mean, a small position in gold probably makes sense, but I think it's also looking a little bit toppy. Also, if the market really starts to go down, you'll see money kind of pulling out of gold and going back into treasuries, like we've seen today.
Yeah, bonds.
You know, that's the dog that hasn't barked. You know, the big sell-off in bonds. You know, they're still looking okay for now, but certainly on your bonds, you need to be very careful. And if you hold any bond funds, be especially careful. Stop losses become even more important on bond funds than individual bonds.
Yeah, absolutely. Stop losses is critical, and even bond funds now have gotten a little weak because of so many cities and municipalities are threatening default Some are going bankrupt where there are laws that allow that type of thing, because not every state does allow municipalities and so forth to go broke. So even with bonds, you've got to be careful.
Oh, absolutely. And even as good a manager as Bill Gross down at PIMCO, you need to be careful of that. I was doing some advising on an investment committee, and this young lady said, "Well, you know, Bill Gross is such a great manager." I said, "Well, you know, the best manager during the tech sell-off lost an awful lot of money in 2000.
Yeah, well said. How can people learn more about doing business with you?
Well, they're welcome to go to brcapitalinc.com. In fact, we just redid our website, so I'm inviting everyone to take a look at that, even though it's still somewhat under construction. And our phone number, 800-562-7096.
Thank you, Bill. BR Capital, Inc.